and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we find ourselves in the doctrine of the importance of doctrine, and we find ourselves on page 4. All right, children, it is your responsibility to be in fellowship. It is your responsibility to abide in Him. And even if you got to this point out of fellowship, you can at least be in fellowship now and focus your attention on the information that God has for you today. If you align yourselves with what is being taught here at Maranatha Church, you will make all three adjustments to God, and you will be in good shape when we're out of here. It is your responsibility, therefore, as a believer, to receive these things and to accept these things. Some things are new, some things are old. Depends on where you're at spiritually and how long you've been under face-to-face teaching. We have a variety of people here with a variety of histories and time in grade. So you must understand that. They are not some where you were spiritually, are spiritually, and they are learning these things as you learned these things. I was thinking about 1 John a little bit with regard to my own congregation. And as he wrote that epistle, to those believers in the area to which the letter was circulated, the Apostle John says, I don't have any need to write to you anything new, because you have what you need right now in the angelic conflict. I am not saying that there isn't anything new that might come up in the Word of God, but for a lot of us, or for a number of us, we have been through a lot of verses, a lot of books, and a lot of information. That doesn't mean we have retained it all. It's just that it's there, and the information is been put in front of you as a believer, so that you basically, in all the kind of situations that you encounter as a believer in time, that you are able to cope. You're able to bring that doctrine to the forefront and use it. So let's take the usual time and use doctrine related to the importance of face-to-face teaching and our individual place under that. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we find ourselves living in very perilous times. We find ourselves in the rapture generation. We find ourselves towards the very end of that generation. And we thank you that you brought us here in time and through another year. And we ask that you continue to be with us, as we know you will, as we continue to fight the good fight and endure whatever you call upon us to endure in these last days. Be with us our time together today, to our encouragement and edification, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Most of you understand, but maybe not all of you could articulate it, that we are in the rapture generation. Now, it doesn't mean that we have a different marching order than believers before us. It's just that we do indeed see the day approaching. Based on all of the doctrine and all the information, we have to exercise faith with regard to that, but nevertheless, we see the day approaching. We see it because we have had our eyes, spiritually speaking, enlightened with regard to our place and time on the historical timeline. And we are, of course, in the church age. We are, of course, at the end of the church age. We are in that generation, and we see all of the various prophecies, although not all, but many of the prophecies all coming to this point of perfection where it'll be the perfect timing to take us out of here. It is breathtaking if you sit down and think about where we're at, what little time we've got left, and what we need to do, and not act up. This isn't the time. There never was a time, but this isn't the time for any of us to react and act up. I know that all of us in various ways are being tested. I know that. And sometimes testing, adversity, can get to you. And that causes you or me to perhaps experience soul fainting. And it is a malady, but it can be overcome through prayer and through just keep doing what you've been doing, if it's the right thing, of course. If you keep doing what you've been doing, and don't let anyone dissuade you from that, you just keep hanging in there and functioning as a believer in your niche with your set of circumstances that are upon you at this time. You can go back to the happiest day in your Christian life, wherever that was, and when everything was wonderful and you were positive and all the rest of it. You're still positive. The doctrine is still the same. You have the same responsibility that you had when things were to your, so to speak, liking. So we know that in the rapture generation, spurring ourselves on, do not use excuses to miss Bible class. Maranatha Church has provided for its membership over the years from the very beginning access to this doctrine if you can't make it. The information is available free of charge. But you have to be the one to make up the Bible classes and to keep up with the teaching. So we've made that available to you by the grace of God and by the applications of people in this church, monetarily and otherwise, so we could have a what we used to call tape ministry. That is all available. Now it's online. It is there for everybody to be able to stay here, if you're sick, if you have to miss, whatever, that information is always available. As long as God continues to provide for us, and He seems to be doing that. The prophetic word, which is critical to the orientation of the believer, I mean, imagine without it, you just could not orient. You wouldn't even know what the future was. But the prophetic word is indispensable to our adjustment to your time in history and your glorification of Christ in time. We see the day approaching. We see these things coming to fruition. Because soon we're going to be out of here. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. We're going to be out of here. All this is going to be behind us. And we're going to be in the afterlife in our resurrection bodies. That's breathtaking. You may not like that. You may like that. But the fact is, that's where we're at. That's the hand you and I were dealt. And I am glad that I'm in this generation, frankly, with all the bad stuff that's out there that goes with the package. I am glad I'm in this generation. I'm glad I'm in this dispensation. I'm glad I'm on the cusp of this. I couldn't have picked a better time if I do my part. I could not have picked a better time to live in human history. And I'm even including the millennium. I don't mean better because of externalities. I mean royal family, status quo, end of the church age, being out of here, being able to have, some of us will have the chance, if not most of us, will have the chance to go through this life and never die physically. Be raptured right out of wherever we're at. And my prayer for you is that you will be here in Maranatha Church, I don't mean we have to be in class. I mean, whatever those circumstances are as we approach the end. Now, I would like to ask you, I assume that those of you who have a prayer life, I assume that you have the foresight to pray for your pastor teacher, that he will deliver the goods to you as we need it. He has his own tests and adversities. And I don't want to belabor you with my own problems or my own tests. I don't want to bore you with that. But I have my own set of things that I have to work myself through. I got to finish 1 John. That's up front. I got to finish that. And then I'll do 2nd and 3rd. Where I'm going from there, I don't have a clue. I don't. I look at this and I wonder, where should I go next? I mean, if I bite off a big chunk, like some big book, I got to commit myself to that. And I got to be right about it. But here's something I've always believed. God in His mercies has always put me where I needed to be at any time in our history. I have absolutely believed. If I didn't believe that, I would be in disarray. That I was where I needed to be. And that God, in spite of me, would enable me to be in a book, in a doctrine, where I need to be. So please, let's eliminate all complaining. All, well, it should be this or it should be that. Eliminate that. Faith rest that. Take the doctrine you've got, live it and apply it, and you will be fine. I'm not going to have the time to cover every book in the Bible. So I got to put that aside. That's not realistic. And I can't go over all the others either. There's no way you can do that. I remember one time it was hilarious. Some guy in Tulsa was going to cover all the books of the Bible in 3 months. No way. That's ludicrous. But anyway, that's the mentality. Now, this, I can be, I have people say, you're going too fast, you're going too slow, you're doing this, you're doing that. And that's part of the pressure I have to bear as a pastor teacher. We have an advantage that these believers to whom these letters were written in the New Testament did not have at their history. They didn't have the whole Bible. Paul had to write them letters, had to send some of his men in there to troubleshoot stuff. But they made it. All right, we have advantages. We all got Bibles. We've all got all of this, so we can have this advantage. That's another advantage of being at this point in time. The era we live in, of course, is Laodicean. And that is subpoint C under 17. We live in the Laodicean era, a period similar to the first generation of the church age in which doctrine is available in its purest and most complete form. Do you believe that? I am not saying that there wouldn't be spots and places before us. I don't know church history that perfectly to know that there were not people out there. It'd be nice that at times prior to this had it together and had the same form of teaching that you are exposed to. I don't know. There perhaps were. They tend to be pushed aside for the other big denominations and things that went on. But nevertheless, to the church of Laodicea, I like these churches because it's very instructive from a number of angles. They're all bona fide churches. One wasn't more of a church than the other in God's eyes. They were all equal, of equal standing in terms of the fact that they were legitimate lampstands in time. With their problems, and some of them had problems that you would, I'm leaving that church. I hear that sometimes. I'm out of here. Oh, really? Then where are you going? Because they're not out there on every corner. So never to any of these believers was instruction given to leave. It was to stay put. Yes, there were threats. If you don't do this in the first church, I'll remove your lampstand. Boom, gone. I don't know what all would be involved in that. Shutting the whole operation down. And other threats were given. Okay, fine. But they're all churches. Even the Laodicean church that gets no commendation. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you don't get this right. So opportunity was there for them to get it right. And if the pastor was at fault, he's still their pastor. He's still there. He's not just run him out and get another one and we'll be okay. No. He's given grace to an opportunity. He told them they can turn it around, and he has one of the synonyms for Bible doctrine is gold. And he will give you pure gold refined in fire. Now let's take all that up. Pure gold means pure doctrine, correct stuff. The stuff that they were neglecting to teach the whole counsel of God. I assume that is the case where if you don't emphasize this and don't emphasize that, you demonstrate yourself as a con. And that's what the fundamentalist world is basically. They're lukewarm. They'll teach this, but they won't teach that. They neglect these things. I know this. Believers could go there for 100 years and never have certain topics discussed and communicated and explained. I wonder if in one of these churches they even discuss what the sin unto death is. That just is an example. It is to end your phase two on a negative note. It doesn't mean, and we'll deal with it in 1 John, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a gory death. Maybe. Saul and Jonathan did. They died to sin unto death. It was gory. It could be of natural causes. But you do not end your phase two on a positive note. Crown qualified. Otherwise, it is the sin unto death. Whether you die at age 100 and as a believer, it does, and have good health. Sin unto death is out there for most believers because they won't line up with this. If I don't fulfill my ministry, it's a sin unto death, even if I'm raptured, apart from death. So I wonder, you know, do they teach this? Do they warn these people about this? Jesus promised the final era, pure gold. I love you people. I care about you people. And I have pure gold. That's wisdom. That's the doctrine that they weren't being exposed to or acclimated to. So, I have given you pure gold. I could have, on the doctrine of the flat earth, refused to teach it. Taught everything else, but refused to teach it. You've got the documentation. You can look at it. Go over it and pray about it. I gave you that doctrine. I gave you that information. I can review it. I can give an overview of it. It's up to you. Because I could not shrink back from this. The Lord has given us pure gold with regard to the doctrine of creation. It is up to us to study it and acclimate to it. It's not, well, that isn't important to my Christian life. I never want to hear that, but I will. I don't want to hear this from people. What has this got to do with my Christian life? It's in the Bible, so I don't need to belabor that. All scripture is important, and creation, it's a big deal. It's a monster deal. The Bible starts with it, and the Bible ends with it. And all in between, and everything the Bible has to say about it. So I've given the doctrine out, and I might even review it, not to be mean, but so that those who maybe aren't as strong in it can see it again, can look at it objectively. But beyond that, I don't have any further responsibility but to teach it. This era is called the latter rains, the late rains, and I explained that one to you. That's a little bit of isagogics. The Jewish nation received early spring rain for their crops, and then an in-between period where there wasn't as much. That doesn't say there wasn't any, obviously. and then the heavy rains at the end. So you have the early and the latter rains. We're in the latter rains. What other sense does this make? Rain being Bible doctrine, water, symbol for doctrine like gold, it's a symbol for doctrine. It's a beautiful symbol for doctrine. Water is especially, it's critical to human existence and life. We're made up mostly of water. and so water cleans stuff up, gives life to stuff. Pure water, clean water. Water without which you have droughts, famine, and all the rest of it. God just rained on us the other day a little bit. It's kind of dry. But anyway. An attack upon the truth and defection from the faith characterizes this era in spades. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. It's a prophecy. I'll get there in a minute. Here's prophecy for you in the last days, people. But the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, explicitly declares that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. What an understatement. They will fall away from it. The faith represents the body of truth. It's a case where people have had it, and they start this slide away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. This is addressed to Christians. Obviously, unbelievers are caught up in this too, but this is for Christians. Doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, which needs to be explained, they teach one thing, do another, but they're liars. Seared in their own consciences as with a branding iron. This is a hardness of the heart, insensitivity to things, and the promotion of things that are way wrong. Men who forbid marriage, divine institution number two, and why would they? Where's that at? Who forbids marriage out there? Catholic Church. Priests can't marry. Monks. All under this umbrella and this elaborate thing of Christians. They forbid marriage. They said that you're more holy if you don't get married. This is insane. The Apostle Peter had a wife. Now, Paul didn't. But that doesn't mean that everyone has to be married. It just means that they're forbidding the clergy, as they call it, to be married. And deny them that blessing in life. That you're more holy if you're not married. And we've seen what a mess that's produced in the Catholic Church. Hypocrisy much? Sex on the side? All this scandal that comes down in the Catholic Church through time and the present? Men do not have any sexual outlet, so they involve themselves with, I don't even want to go into it. While they get up there in their holy garments and do their services, and all this business going down in the background. Forbid marriage. That is any organization, it's the ones that stand out. See, at this point, when Paul wrote this, the Catholic Church wasn't up and running. And advocate abstaining from foods which God has created. I always use the Catholics. You may know of others. No red meat on Friday. I don't know if they still do that. That was a big deal. You had to eat fish. Abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. And of course, there's others out there that have promoted this dietary restriction upon believers. It's legalism. It's wrong. So you can go eat your oyster stew and not be sinning. I just had that recently, so. But that's kind of a tradition for us at this time of year. We go buy some nice oysters and make New York style. So, But it's a shellfish, you know. And under the law, you got all these, oh, you can't, the Jews can't eat that. Well, we're not a Jew under the age of Israel law. That's so obvious to step free of that. Shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Now, there's some really wild stuff people eat. People tell me things, and I go, oh, okay, that's kind of scary. I'm not against it because I think it's sinful. It's just, okay. Who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. You see anything out there God created? It's good. Yes, it's subject to abuse. Overeating, alcohol, abuse, of course. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Thank you, Father, for this bottle of wine. Thank you. Right then and there. In your soul, you can say that. My grandson, pick him up from school, he'll get some ice cream. Can I have some ice cream? Yeah, go get you some. He sits there at the table, and I'm back there, and he's praying over his ice cream. That's not a bad thing. He got ice cream, and he prayed over it. No one asked him to. He just does it. This is very gratifying to me. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Now, don't go tell him this afterwards, okay? Leave him alone. He's coming along. He reflects the things he's hearing in that prep school too. Teachers, he is. He tells me stuff he learns in there. Volunteer it. I don't go and say, okay, what'd you get today? What'd you get? No. Volunteer it. So I was witness to a little kid. I told him, you don't have to have a lot of faith, just about like a mustard seed. Just a little bit of faith in Jesus and you're saved. So a kid can witness too. And give a friend in his periphery the gospel. A playmate. A neighbor. Play basketball together. Witness to him. So, I'm very grateful for that. That's a big blessing. And of course, he gets that from his parents. He gets that from here and whatever input I have. So maybe I'm not supposed to mention him from the pulpit, but I do. He is getting out of that prep school what he needs. Yes, he's only 10, but so what? We're still giving the children Bible doctrine, informing them of the things they need to know. It's up to them, like it's up to us adults, our volition. If their minds and heads are off somewhere else, then they're okay. But if they are, they're getting it. It needs to be reinforced by the parents too, by their example and their encouragement of their children with regard to God and His plan. Start them off simple. Teach them. Explain these things to them, and we'll reinforce it here at Maranatha Church in a classroom setting. So thank you, teachers. It's indispensable. And because we don't have 40 kids like we once did when we were producing babies around here like crazy, that history is behind us. But we did right by them, mostly. I mean, I say mostly. I mean, whatever teachers might have... Goofy stuff might have got thrown in at times. Behind my back. Birthday party for Jesus. Okay. We survived it. So this attack on the truth continues in the last days. All things are sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. That's why you pray over your food. I don't care if it's a hot dog. You pray over it. Father, thank you for this food sanctified to my bodies. Boom. Have the presence of mind to realize this food came to you by the grace of God in time. Okay, moving on. So, no matter what the cost, doctrine of the soul is the basis for the... Okay, this is a good one. Doctrine of the soul is the basis for the invalidation and abolition of all evil human viewpoint systems which challenge God's wisdom. God is going to validate the truth in your soul and bring down all these false systems that have been erected up against the knowledge of the Word of God. And they're out there in religious form, garb, and in scientific garb. He's going to bring this stuff down. It's going to be exposed. It's going to break down. Keep praying about that. That in the devil's world, they've built this stuff up, that it'll be exposed so that people maybe can see and hear and turn to Christ and accept the Bible and not say, oh, the Bible's all, it isn't right about science or whatever. That has turned people away from the Word of God. Systems of science, theories of, turns people away. Once they see, some of them, once they see, they say, oh, I can accept the Bible now in good faith. Now, so anyway, all systems of human viewpoint. The Greeks and Paul had to deal with this in Corinth with all the philosophies and philosophers and wise guys, wisdom types, 1 Corinthians 1, for it is written. Now, we haven't seen this yet, have we? I, God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. These people are very good at what they do. They're very clever. And they have brought these systems of thought into the human race. And others have just naturally followed it, herd-bound, negative. It's going to be brought down. I pray for this all the time. Start breaking up their party. For the good of humanity. Not just to expose these dummies. But to break it down. To drag it out in the open. And show the human race how fooled they've been by things. 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. From the cosmos perspective, what we're doing here today is foolishness. They got so much better stuff to do. We the foolish things of the world. Oh, that little church. Oh, that little whatever. Oh, those Christians. Oh, this. To shame the wise. These smart guys. Wise guys. High IQ types. Einstein types. Very smart. I know they are. They have high IQs. They put this stuff together. The universities, it's all set up. I'm not saying everything in a university is bad. I'm just saying that so much of it is. The theoretical stuff is junk. But it's all glorified and put up, but it's coming to an end. To shame the wise, when we have this, what I call inversion, this flip, where God shows these are the people that had it right in the coming of the Lord context. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. The weak things are people who are socially in a lower class. They're not above the rich and powerful. They're not in that category, but they're positive. It doesn't mean that God is some bleeding heart that's for everybody that's downtrodden. He's for all classes of people. He deals with all, but the weak things of the world, the people that don't have any political punch, have no big financial punch, that aren't some celebrities on some stage, some scholar, some whoever. And again, you can't misunderstand what I'm saying. God has chosen, has provided salvation for everybody. But not many from these upper classes, comparatively, come to Christ and come to the truth. Exceptions exist. But the majority of people who are positive do not come. It's almost like a curse if you are born into a royal bloodline. If you were born into this because you're immediately, you think you're superior to everybody else. And you're not about to humble yourself and associate with a local church like this or wherever. The exceptions to this, a guy like Moses. Moses was a highly talented, successful Egyptian prince. He had multiple abilities, but he's an exception. And he broke from all of that to follow the plan of God. So God has chosen Don't look at yourself like, oh, it's just little old me. Yeah, little old you. God is for what the world discounts as, you know, those people. Those people. Those people. Huh? God is going to take those people and put to shame the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. What are the things that are strong? Monetarily, politically, and all the rest of it. Intellectual, all that business. He's going to flip this whole script on these people and elevate the righteous and the positive. These are my people. They had it right. To varying degrees, of course. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. He's going to cut that all out. Exposing all of this stuff in the end. And all who are followers of it. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Best place to be at any time of year. Who became to us wisdom from God. This is our wisdom. They got their wisdom. We have our wisdom. This is the wisdom sponsored by God. They've got their wisdom. But it's going to be overturned. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that is written. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I will boast in the Lord and tell you, as I've told you before, little children, you listen to Jack Ballinger and you follow the doctrine, you will make the three adjustments to God so that you can stand in that inner circle of the elite when we're out of here or when the rapture and the bema occurs. So doctrine is a system for the invalidation. See, it's like you have it in your soul, so you're protected from the lies. You have it in your soul, and God will validate it. He's going to validate everything that's true in your soul. He's going to validate it, and he's going to do it in front of the whole cosmos. That's why the day of the Lord is going to be so traumatic. It's when all this truth is going to be out there in front of the human race with all this evil rampant, and then the end comes, and the wise man and these kind of clowns are no more. They're not given any more traction in the kingdom of Christ on earth. We won't have to deal with them. There'll be wise people, of course, and people with high intellects, but they will be if they're negative, they won't be allowed to crank out all this mess. So do not, no matter the cost, throw in the towel at this juncture. And that's Hebrews 10, and that's the call to these believers. Now, these believers were, again, as I've said, background. These Christians were Jewish. They were distressed. They were living in Israel, close to the end, fifth cycle. And they had done a marvelous job in their early history, and now they were flagging due to the long-term persecutions and adversities they experienced. You know, it's easy for us to react to our testing and let it affect us spiritually. You have to recognize, and I've had to recognize it too and acclimate to the fact, I don't have the strength and energy physically, so I'm sitting in this chair, that I had in yesteryear. What I could do at age 50, I cannot do now physically. So I've lived with it. Well, if you change your diet and get a particular exercise program, I know that sounds appealing. I'm not saying there isn't a place for that. But accept the fact that you're slowed down as a result of the aging factor. That you say, I can't do what I did maybe even a year or two ago. Okay, fine. It's nothing against you. It's just what you have to deal with. You saw it with your parents. You see it with those around you. Okay, it's your turn. To a certain level, to be not like you once were. Now, if you're young, you may not have that test. But it's a test for us. It is, yes, we'd like to have the same energy and strength that we had when we were, in my case, 50. But 20 years has taken its toll a little bit. And so, fine. God will give me the strength and the wherewithal to deal with what I have to deal with now. Would I prefer the other? Yes, but I got to deal with this. It's on me. It doesn't mean I'm bad, it's just the way it is. And some of you have done beautifully, as far as I can tell, with regard to more severe than I'm under. And I don't mean by chronology, but other physical factors. I am impressed that you hang in there with something that's bigger than mine. Mine's just, well, I won't go into it. Mine's what it is. Combination of factors. So it's okay. It's okay. We're gonna get all fixed up. And in the meantime, we can produce eternal weight of glory. So Hebrews 10:32. Maybe that's what some of us need to do around here. I don't know. I'm just a spokesman for this information, because whatever happens in the Bible repeats itself in people's lives. And if a believer fails, you have to just deal with it. Pick yourself up, dust off your britches when you fall down, and move forward. I had to do more than dust off my britches the other day. In case you heard the rumor, I fell. Did I ever? It was dramatic. And poor Brenda. Now I say poor Brenda. She handled it well. I'm flat on my face in the bathroom, coming out of there, fully dressed. I face plant on the white tile. The reason I did, well, apart from stumbling, is because I'm trying to protect this arm that has just got healed, I think. And I didn't want to jam it out there and have it. So I let go. So my face took the brunt of it. And so I'm in there. I say, Brenda, you need to come help me. It's not that I couldn't have got up. So poor Brenda. She said, what's he need? So one-armed Brenda comes walking in. I'm on my hands and knees, and blood is running out of my nose like a faucet. Whew, all over the white tile. We can see it right here. That's where I hit here and here and my nose. I didn't break my nose. I just bled like a stuck pig. I didn't have the presence of mind to say, would you go get a Tupperware bowl? We'll collect this. So she's bringing in all these white towels that we dust with in the house, getting them wet, and I'm soaping it up. I'm worried about the tile, that we're going to have all this grout messed up. Isn't that stupid how you get into something? And the one thing you're worried about is, oh, my tile's going to be a wreck, and it's going to look like hell. So I get a towel, get out of blood, throw it in the sink, get another one, throw it in the sink. Finally, I got the darn thing stopped, pretty much. And my son and daughter-in-law got a phone call. He needs assistance. So anyway. No judging. It doesn't matter if it was divine discipline or not. God loves me. Got a verse on that. But anyway, that's what happened to me. I got that interrupted me fixing supper that night. So here I am. And see, that's one of the things that's happened to me. Is I'll have a lazy leg, the left one. And if I do not pick that thing up like I'm supposed to, I'm liable to trip. That's why I got this stick and I try to prevent it. So pray for me. Something else you got to pray for the guy for. All right. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. So you see a pattern here. Look, listen to me. When you decide to commit, now it's past tense for all you, because most of you, you've already committed. But once you step away from where you were and line up with the truth, you are subject to persecution from family and others. Now, this was society-based. It was strong. It was Jewish. And you've never been persecuted until you've been persecuted by a Jew. And negative Jews, hostile to these people who are traitors and all other kinds of name-calling, because they said Jesus is the Messiah and it became believers and lived among them. They couldn't just move. You endured a great conflict of sufferings. Have we endured a great conflict of sufferings around here? I don't know, it's a rhetorical question. You might say, yeah, in certain ways. A great conflict of sufferings. Partly by being made a public spectacle. Who would like to have people in the news media or out there just promoting how awful these people are? Through reproaches, that's bad-mouthing. And tribulations, that's any kind of pressures. And partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You step into good company. You then are in the same category of those who historically preceded you who went through the same thing in time. Take the saints during the Maccabean crisis. They were persecuted, driven out of their homes, living in caves and rocks. But we haven't had that happen yet, have we? And I don't suspect we will, but I don't know the degree of any of it. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Under this adversity, you came to the aid of other believers who were put in jail. They were put in jail. And so they didn't say, oh, I'm not going to go near that. I'm going to go help so-and-so. They were in prison. They grabbed him up, put him in jail. I'm going to go there and see if I can help. Because you can't visit prisoners in jail and take them food or whatever, and encouragement and doctrine. And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. This is illegal criminal taking of their property. However little, or whatever it was, it's still a violation. Knowing that you have for yourselves, see, that's the cushion, if you let it be. That's the cushion. They're taking what I got because I'm a Christian. They're stealing it. State, sponsored by the authorities. Okay, guess what? They just handed me SG3. And God can return all that later. They just handed me a big chunk of SG3. They took my little amount of stuff I had, came into my home, stripped me of my goods, took it all, but they knew the doctrine of SG3, that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Paragraph SG3, eternal reward. Therefore, he says to them, do not throw away your confidence. I'm out of here. I've had it. I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. Yeah, you could take the persecution off. Do not throw away your confidence. Confidence being a synonym for doctrine. Which has a great reward. What's that aspect? That's the crown. You throw away your confidence, you're still going to get a reward for those things that you did in fellowship before the fact. Somebody taught that you lose your SG3 if you go in. No, you cannot lose an ounce of SG3 anymore. You can lose your salvation. If it's in the bag, it's in the bag. God is not so unfaithful. You did it in good faith. You were in fellowship. You're going to get a reward for that. The thing you can throw away is the chance to get the crown. By bailing out of here for whatever. Under pressure, or you get something in the cosmos where you leave your place. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And then we go off on. Now, from their standpoint, was it a little time before the rapture of the Lord? No, but they would be safe in heaven and on hold, so to speak, waiting. And they're still, these believers to whom this was written, they're still waiting for their SG3 package. They don't even have their resurrection bodies yet. They're happy and they're delighted where they're at. But they don't have that yet. But it still applies. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. God is not going to postpone the timing of his return. Like people delay things for various reasons. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is not a good prospect for living in the world. My soul is divine essence. God's essence with regard to his righteousness and so forth. This believer is a spiritual pariah, so to speak. He's still a believer. God's still going to do everything but my soul has no pleasure in him. So if I cut and run, I can live the rest of my life, whether I accept it or not, knowing that God is not pleased with me. And rebound isn't going to do me much good unless I repent and get back on track. Now, there's always that option. If you decide down the road to leave and decide to come to your senses and come back, you can do that. No problem. I don't care what you fell into. Don't do it, though. It's just, So, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. All right, let's take our usual Sunday break.